All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's Q&A call. You've got Corey here on the line, Corey Chason. For those of you who don't know me, I work very closely with Dustin. Actually, me and Dustin and Josh this morning went for a little team building exercise, and you'll probably see more about that in the future, but it had to do with driving fast cars, and it was pretty fun. But now we're back in the office here on a Saturday just working away, and I'm going to give this a few minutes before we get started. Like 1 or 2 minutes, I'm just waiting for Josh to hop on with me. So we'll just give it another minute or two, and I'll be right back. All right, here we go. All right, everybody, welcome to the call. I'm so glad you could join us today on a Saturday. It's, what's the date today? July 2nd. Yesterday, we're up in Canada right now, and yesterday was Canada Day. So that was fun. We actually didn't really do anything. We ended up working most of the day because there's lots of stuff going on right now. But me and Josh got the chance to go to a nice little rooftop penthouse soiree, you could say, and that was pretty fun. On behalf of Josh and I, I'd like to welcome you to the call today. Let's just get a few housekeeping things out of the way, and then I'll kind of introduce Josh and make sure he's on. So it's a Q&A call today. This is all about you guys, and we're here to answer your questions, hard or easy questions. Generally, what Josh and I do is we'll answer the questions to the best of our ability. And then the questions we can't answer on the phone, we'll make a video. So last week we did one of these calls, and we ended up making another video. We haven't posted it yet just because this week's been super busy. But it's done. It's edited. I put the final touches on it. So that'll be going up on YouTube next week. And then the questions that we don't answer on this call will also be going up on YouTube probably in the next week and a half. So I apologize. You might have to wait a week to get answers to your questions. If they're super burning questions, you can always call in, though. 877-405-1050. So, Q&A calls. Back to that. So there's a box. There should be a box if you're online signing in. There's a box. You can type your questions in. We'll be able to see those. If you're calling in live on the phone or you want to talk to us live on the phone, you can hit *2 on your keypad. And what that'll do is that'll raise your hand, and me and Josh will be able to see that, and we'll unmute you. And then we'll be able to take your call live. It's super fun. Josh is friendly, and it's always good to have participation from live callers. But if you don't feel comfortable, that's totally fine, too. We are okay with that. Josh, are you there? Oh, we got a hand up. That's sweet. Josh, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother. Hello. Good afternoon.
Any wise words, Josh, before we get started here?
Yeah. You know, if someone ever invites you along to drive a fast car, say yes and have at her. This morning Dustin invited me and Corey out to the track there with them at the airport. They had it set up, and we got to drive. It was a good time. It's a good time. I always love getting the heart rate up. You know, it's a great way to start the morning. It's always great to do something exciting every now and again. And get the heart rate up. That's what I got.
Awesome, man. Thank you for that strikingly beautiful intro. Cool. All right. So, we're going to just jump right into the questions here. There's no need to waste too much time. We got some exciting things coming up this month. We're kind of on like a mini break. We're on a mini break for June and July, so we don't have very many Joshes in town because there's not a lot of auction trips. So that's cool. It's cool having him back. And because of that, we're celebrating by having this call. So I'm going to click the question button here. Okay, perfect. So let's start. This is first question is from John from San Francisco, and he talks about Iowa. His question is, how does Iowa's bid of percentage ownership as a security work? How can you exit a foreclosure window if the faulting owner still owns part of the property? So, John, that's kind of why we recommend people stay away from Iowa. If you're in Iowa and you want to do a lot of research, then that's definitely something that you can do. Let me just read a little bit here kind of what our thoughts are on that. But the winning bidder at the auction in Iowa, he is the investor who is willing to take the lowest ownership percentage of the property. So what happens at the Iowa tax sale is the bidding will start at 100%. And you can be bid all the way down to 1%, which is very different than most states that you'll find yourself in. So if there are two investors and they bid the property down to 1%, then the county will use a random selection process to select a winner. So basically, it's kind of like a weird bidding system where, like, if you're basically going head to head with an investor, you're going to start the property off at 100%. And then you're going to bid it down to whatever, 90%, 50%. And if you get down to 1%, then the county randomly selects someone to be the winner, which is kind of ridiculous. But, it's pretty wild. The interest rate in Iowa is high, though. So it's 25%, 24% per year. So it's basically 2% per month. So that is an interest rate. So it accrues over the month. So if someone redeems within 6 months, then you only get to 12%, which is still pretty good. In our opinion, though, John, if you want to get that high interest rate, then Iowa is definitely a state that you should look into and kind of go to the county and kind of figure out a little bit more of the in-depth details. We haven't done anything in Iowa yet. We're like hardcore in Texas and Philly right now and in California as well. So that's kind of where we're focusing. But if you do want the interest rate, then definitely look into Iowa and different states. And to be honest with you, we're not really certain how you exit a foreclosure if the defaulting owner still gets part of the property. That's something that you would have to talk to a real estate lawyer or an attorney in Iowa just to figure that out. I'm sure it has something to do with buying them out or maybe getting them to sign a contract. Maybe you pay them money to do that. Who knows? But definitely something to look into if you live in Iowa or near Iowa, because the interest rate is 24% per year. So that could be beneficial to you. That's kind of our best answer on that one. Great question, though. That's a pretty heavy question, so I appreciate that. And we will move on to the next one. Kim has a question. She says, when is the next group getting together? I think you mean auction group. So the next auction trip is actually in August, and we're very close to being sold out of that. So if you do want to hop on board that, if you go to taxlienscertificateschool.com/live-auction, you'll be able to apply for that. It's going to be pretty awesome. Josh, maybe you want to just say a little bit about the auction trip that we have had passed and kind of the success of them and what people can look forward to. Just make it quick, though, because I do want to move on to some of these questions.
Yeah, we're doing live auction training in Philadelphia and live auction training in Houston, Texas. We'll walk you through the entire process beginning to end. Show you how we do comps for properties, how we drive properties, what we're looking for, how we get max bids, any advanced strategies we use when talking to owners trying to get a pre-auction deal, and then walking you through the actual auction as well, looking at exit strategies, and that's about it. Boom, boom.
Cool, man. That's awesome. So if you visit that website, I said taxlienscertificateschool.com/live-auction, you'll be able to apply for that, and then someone will reach out and call you and give you information about that, Kim. I noticed you had another question of that. So, Josh, the next question, do you want to take the next one? It's from Rafael Fernandez. How do I convert a quick claim deed into a warranty deed or marketable title?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just in case anybody isn't familiar with those terms, a quit claim deed and warranty deed. So that's what we'll talk about. A warranty deed, that's when you have a guarantee of the property, you know, that it's free and clear. And that's what you're going to want to sell to people. You can sell a quit claim deed, but it's not guaranteeing that it's free of liens or, you know, other encumbrances. There could be some kind of block to the title. And then you can get sued for that, actually. So it's not a good idea to ever sell a property like that. You're always going to want a warranty deed. And pretty much when it comes to these properties that we're buying, you know, tax liens, tax deeds, it's pretty rare that you're going to find the property that is free and clear. You know, most of these are clouded. You know, there's been some kind of special circumstance surrounding the property. And so you're going to get it as a quit claim deed, you know, because you can't guarantee that there's not other liens there yet. So what you're going to want to do is get an action to quiet title. And, you know, and pretty much every state has a form of this. We use tax title services quite a bit. You can also get a real estate attorney, and essentially what they're going to do is thoroughly research the chain of the title and any potential outstanding interest, right? And then they're going to file a lawsuit for the purpose of extinguishing those, and pretty much then they'll be able to – not pretty much. Then they'll be able to guarantee it that it's free and clear, and that's what takes it from a quit deed to a warranty deed. And that's going to anywhere cost anywhere between, you know, $1,500 and $2,000. So when you're looking at buying property, that's something you always want to take into consideration as well, the funds that are required to do that. And make sure you find a knowledgeable local real estate attorney, someone who is familiar with doing this, because a lot of people might, let's say they're not too familiar with doing this, they might start doing it for you and hit a wall and then give up. But there's always a way. So that's pretty much it. But tax title services is who we would recommend. They don't work in every state, though. That's where you're going to then have to find a real estate attorney. Yeah, so that wraps that one up.
Cool, man. And then Jeff had a question. We'll jump over to the live callers in one sec. Jeff had a question. How do you make sure you have a clean title to any property? You kind of described that, but do you want to just answer that real quickly again just to get it in people's heads?
Right. Yeah, so Jeff, out of Rancho Cucamonga, fantastic. So when it comes to getting a clear title, like I said, most of these are not going to have a clear title. I'm always quite surprised when I do title research myself and find that, you know, there's nothing on any of the properties. So the idea, though, is that you want to do the research and see what liens and encumbrances are there, and you want to make sure that everybody's been notified of that. And then when you acquire a property, everything is going to get wiped because the tax sale takes priority. But other government liens, the government does want their money for those, and so those are going to stick. Usually small things, maybe a lien, let's say the homeowner didn't cut their grass, you know, and then that's been outstanding for a while. Things like that are going to stick. Then the only time liens stick is if the paperwork was done wrong by the county, you know, when they were suing or something. But that's where tax title services can work on your behalf. But, yeah, title research, you just want to go down to the county and look through the records. Oftentimes, though, you can do that online. Most counties have a website, you know, their county website, where you can search the records. Philadelphia will actually charge for that service, though, but most counties will have that for free. And you're going to want to usually put the homeowner, you know, put the homeowner's name under grantor and then grantee. That's going to bring up everything that's associated with that homeowner. It'll take a little bit of time because, let's say they're an investor, they have a lot of property that you're going to have to sift through. But that's how you can check to see if a property is free and clear. But like I said, most of these are going to have a clouded title, and tax title services can handle that for you. Or if you're comfortable, you know, you could be writing letters yourself. You pretty much just want to write a letter letting, you know, the banks know that they were notified about this tax sale, that it's gone to a tax sale, it's sold, you're the new owner, that everything is going to be wiped. Tax sale takes priority. And it's just doing that, but it's best to work with a professional at the start if you just don't have any experience in that. Yeah.
Cool, man. That sounds great. Let's jump over to the live callers. We have Linda here. Says, hello there, Linda from North Carolina. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the call. Oh, we got two callers. Okay, so we'll take ending in 4116, Santu. Okay. There we go. You're unmuted. Hello.
hey, this is Kate Singh. I'm calling from San Francisco. I got a couple of questions very quickly. Are you guys planning any live training sessions in California this year?
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, we actually just recently decided to do live auction training. We're going to be doing Los Angeles and San Bernardino, and that is coming up. There's only a few spots, so that's something you want more information about. We can send an email out to you because I just heard about it a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And then I know we're probably going to be doing more auctions as well. But definitely doing Los Angeles and San Bernardino. I think the date is for that. I can actually tell you right now.
What month are they going to be?
What's that?
What are they going to be in?
Say that one more time.
Which month are they going to be in? What month is that?
Okay, so August 4th to 8th. We're going to be doing Los Angeles and San Bernardino.
Okay, so I got one more question. So I talked to one of your reps, Kenny, and he told me about the training sessions. And can you guys give me some brief introduction on the coaching, the 6 months coaching that you guys are going to be providing? And that's my last question, actually. So if you guys want to hang up the call, you can. So I want some information about the 6 months coaching, something brief.
Do you want me to take that, Josh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, cool. Okay, yeah, well... I mean, Kenny's definitely someone to talk to about the six-month program. He knows a lot about it. But basically, it would be just like 6 months of intensive coaching. You'd have access to some of our top coaches, and you would be basically, it's very personal coaching. I mean, it's hard to describe it more than that. It would be very custom to what your goals are. We'd find out what you wanted, what you had now, where you wanted to be, what you wanted to achieve in 6 months, and then kind of guide you along that path to getting you to your goals within the 6 months. So it's, it's basically fully tailored around you. And we would have a conversation with you, sit down and like just figure out what your goals are and then have like a step-by-step plan to get you from A to B to C to D. So that's kind of a very quick and crude description of it, but it would just basically be tailored completely for you. And we would figure it out.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for calling.
Let's
move on to number caller. We've got a cell phone in California, I think, in 3834, Manteca, California. Hello?
Yes. How are you, Corey and Josh?
Oh, we're doing well. Who are we speaking to?
Yeah, my name is Dan Flores, and I'm actually in Modesto, California.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Hey, listen, first of all, guys, I want to thank you for taking the time here on a Saturday afternoon to answer our questions, and also want to wish you guys a very happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Good deal. Hey, listen, I was wondering, Paul Walker had sent me a message on the Facebook saying that he was putting together a California auction. And they only have like 4 spots left, and I emailed him telling him to go ahead and email me some details on that, but I haven't heard anything.
Okay, cool. We'll definitely – let me just what was your first and last name? I'll look you up in her system and send your information over to Amy just so she has it.
Perfect. Okay, first name is Daniel.
Okay.
And last name is Flores. That's Flores.
Okay, cool. Oh, I remember seeing you in the group, Daniel. Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
After we get off the after we get off the call here, I'll just send your information over to Amy and make sure she gets in contact with you. Probably, I guess,
okay.
On Tuesday. Seeing as
Monday
is an extremely large holiday.
Are both of you guys going to be on that particular auction or no?
I don't know if I'll be there. I want to be there. I want to be. I'll either be there or in Texas. We'll have to see. But I know Josh will be there, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Oh,
and Mike Walker. And I think that'll be it.
Cool. Okay. And also one last question. What do you guys think about the Sacramento area for auctions?
go for it, Josh.
I already got your answer.
You know, I've never been. I've only worked in Southern California, and the only reason I work in Southern California is because it's close to the office. You know, we're just working in counties that are, you know, within 2-3 hour drive. So I'm really sorry. I got nothing on Sacramento, but you know, in the Facebook page, I'm sure there's investors that are in Northern California. You can ask, you know, and see if anyone's invested there before and what their experience has been.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thanks for the tip, man. All right, you guys, that's about it for me, man. Thanks again for your time and all your efforts on our behalf, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. All right. That was awesome. Yeah, so generally for those places that we don't know and we haven't invested in, it's so hard to keep track of all these places, and there's no way we can at the staff we have and the manpower we have right now, we're just expanding out. So we're trying to hit too many places at once. So hopefully someday soon we'll be able to expand into all of California and all of Texas and all of Pennsylvania and Arkansas. We actually, I'll segue here for a second if you'll allow me. one of the guys who was driving the cars with us this morning is Brad. You probably may have seen a video from him. He's from England, and he's been doing tax liens and tax deed investing from up in Canada. So he drives down and flies down every month for different sales. And he was talking about different sales in like Arkansas and other places. And he's been finding some really crazy deals. And I'll hand this over to Josh in a second because Josh got the chance to talk to him a little bit. But like in Texas and in Philadelphia, we're hitting pretty heavily populated auctions. So it's really hard to find those little gems in those big areas because there's so much competition. And it's hard to pick up properties if you don't have a huge budget because there is so much competition and properties get bid up. But what you'll find is when you put in that little extra work and look in smaller counties, maybe it's a county close to you or a county out in the boonies somewhere, you'll have to sift through more counties because the lists won't be as big, but you'll end up finding these properties that are, you know, you buy them. I think he was saying he bought a property for, what's it, like $5,000 and sold it for like, he got it like, I think it was like $50,000 or something. Anyway, there was like my math is terrible, but I think there was like a $32,000-$33,000 profit on that sale. And he found that in just some county. I think it was in Arkansas. So it's important to remember that depending on what your goals are. There was a question in the questions was, should I start with tax liens or tax deeds? I think it was from Joe. He said he was new. But yeah, kind of have to figure out what it is you want. If you want an interest rate, if you have money and you just want to let it sit and get interest rates, then tax liens are definitely your best bet. But if you want to sort of get property or be able to flip property for quick capital, quickish capital, I should say, then definitely tax deeds and probably buying in smaller counties where you can find smaller pieces of land for $500 to $2,000 to $5,000 and then flipping that for like a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 profit depending on what margins you find. So that's kind of a cool little thing that I learned about from Brad today. Josh, I don't know if you want to add to that at all. Don't give away too many of his secrets, but
yeah, without offering too much. It was really refreshing talking to Brad this morning. I got to spend a little bit of time with him in the car, and I was just reminded of the home runs, grand slams, the amazing deals that are still out there. For me personally, I've just been working in large cities for the past while. And, you know, most of the deals I'm seeing are
30% at best, you know, 30%, 40%, 50% of market value. But, you know, Brad was telling stories. He spent $2,000 on a property. And then, you know, with the tax title services, you know, they're 1500 cut. So he was in for about 3500 and then was able to sell it like for $35,000, you know. And so deals like that are great. He's had some huge, huge hits. And, of course, you know, Kevin Gross had that amazing deal with the car wash. We're always talking about that one. And, yeah, it just encourages me to get out into the smaller counties, the sales that aren't popular, you know, Philadelphia, Texas, Georgia, they're happening monthly. Florida, you know, you got lots of competition there. The monthly sales, it attracts a lot of investors. But, you know, states like Washington, Idaho, Arkansas, pretty much those ones. I mean, there's a lot there that's been untapped, and Brad is going to these sales, and he's finding that there's not much competition. He's cleaning up and doing really well. But I'll say a quick thing he had mentioned today. When he first started doing tax liens and tax deeds, he found he was just buying property all over the country, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. Picked up a couple liens, you know, where is it, Maryland or something, and, you know, all over the states. And he found that it was really difficult, you know, because each state and then sometimes even within the counties, there's different rules. And what he wants to do now is just focus in one place for a little bit, you know, focus in one state, learn the rules, hit it hard. You know, when you're comfortable with that state, branch out. And that's just something I wanted to share with you guys today. You know, because it is difficult when you're doing a little bit of work, you know, in one state, then on the East Coast doing a little bit of work there. So I recommend, yeah, you know, find a place that works, learn the rules, overcome that learning curve, and then just keep coming back and making it happen. That's what I want to share with from Brad from this morning.
Cool, man. Thanks for that. I had something really, I felt like it was really wise to say, but I lost it. Brad was mentioning once where he went to a sale in Arkansas and there was three people in the room, three people at a tax sale. Pretty good. And I think only one of them was bidding or something like that, some ridiculous stat like that, but it was pretty wild. He actually picked up a couple properties that day. Anyway, so that's really cool, Josh. Thanks for sharing that. I'm really pumped you got to chat with him about that. We have another question. Here from Richard McKay. He says, situation, a county has more than one tax lien on the same property, but with different tax years for sale over the counter. I buy the most recent tax lien. Question, if I push for possession of the property when the redemption period is over, will I have to pay the back taxes on the tax lien the county still holds? Yeah, so Richard, I mean, a good thing is to always, if you're going to buy 1 year's taxes and there's multiple years, you're going to be responsible for those years if you get it. So it's always good just to buy all the liens out straight back. One reason is because then you get more interest on your money. So instead of, let's say, it's $1,000, the first year is $1,000. Instead of getting 10% on $1,000, you could spend $3,000 and get 10% on $3,000. So that's always a good idea. And also, certain states like New Jersey, depending on, and this is getting a little more complicated, so just I apologize if this is confusing, but I think New Jersey is one of them, is where the primary year, the first year lien, it gets bid down, the interest rate. So let's say the interest rate's 18%. The interest rate will actually get bid down maybe to 4% on the first year's taxes. But on the subsequent year's taxes, if you buy the first year's, like year two, year three, year four, if there's back taxes on those years, you'll actually get the full 18% on those years. So it can be really profitable. Let's say you take a 4% interest rate for the first year, but there's 4 years of back taxes, then you can buy the full price for those years and you get your full 18%, which makes it very profitable. So that's just something to think about as well. So the more money you can put into it, the more return you're going to get, especially if it's at a fixed interest rate. So that's just something to keep in mind. So if you do push for possession and the redemption period is over, you will have to pay the back taxes. You'll have to clear all the taxes out before you can redeem that property and foreclose on it. But great question, Richard. Thanks for that. Joe, I answered your question, Joe. which is more profitable, tax liens or deeds? Depends on what you want to do. Liens if for interest rate, deeds if you want to get property or flip for quickish capital. All right. Got to remember to take a breath. Why don't we all just take – oh, I got a cough. Sorry about that. I'm getting to fast talking here, so take a deep breath. All right. Next question. Jack Myers says, how can I get in touch with Brad? I'm in Arkansas and we'll be hitting all the auctions coming up. Jack, we can shoot your email over to Brad. Brad's kind of a lone wolf, but I can definitely put in a word for you. And if he's up for meeting up with you, we can definitely arrange that. So I'll just copy your email here. Josh, you want to read the next question? I want to make some notes real quick here, so don't forget.
Yes, 100%. All right. Rufus says, how do I get started in Louisiana? Great question, Rufus. So the best thing to do, if you purchased our 27 digital bundle, that means you have the tax lien and tax deed directory. And so Louisiana is a tax lien state. And what I would do is start with the counties that are closest to you if you live in Louisiana. If you don't, then it doesn't really matter. You could just start calling the counties and asking them about information, you know, with their tax sales, their tax lien auctions, or you can Google the information on the internet and see what you bring up. The first thing that I always do when looking for information is I'll Google the county, put tax sale, then see what I bring up, educate myself on the rules. Then I usually look at the tax code as well, because that's where all these rules are coming from, so I want to check the source. And, then get going to the auctions, driving property, you know, find some good deals, pick them up. So with it being a tax lien state, though, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to get the property. But, you know, maybe they have some over-the-counters there. Maybe the tax lien expiration is coming up. And those are great deals. You know, if you can find an over-the-counter tax lien, you know, that's coming to an end. Pick it up, foreclose on the property, it's yours. Boom, boom. So call counties, get lists, drive properties, pick it up at the sale. That's how I'd say get started in Louisiana. And then if you ever have a hard time finding some information, you can always shoot us an email, hello@taxliencertificateschool.com. You know, we could just do a little bit of digging for you, see if we can find something, or we'll just call the county. And that's something I'll do sometimes if I get emails. They say, hey, I've been searching. I can't find anything. Can you help me? You know, something like that. We can assist. Ed signed up for the Philadelphia auction, but would like to have known about the California auction. So the California auction, Ed, just happened at the last minute. I don't know if we were planning on attending or what the situation was. But if you would rather attend the California auction, simply just call your sales rep, you know, and see what kind of options you have there. I know it's a little bit of ways away for the Philly auction. I don't know if the dates would work, but it's definitely worth seeing if it's something you can switch and get to the auction that you want to get to. How you doing over there, Corey?
Oh, doing well. I stopped coughing and got some notes down. Yeah. Although I feel like I'm going to cough again in a second. So you can touch it away.
All right, I'll keep on rolling. Scrolling up here. We have a question. How does the Philadelphia auction work? Could you please tell me more about it? What city do you go to in Pennsylvania? So we go to Philadelphia. And I pulled all the information from officeofphiladelphiasheriff.com. So we work in Philadelphia County. They have actually tax lien and tax deed sales. We go to the tax deed sales there. They have three every month. It's a 9-month redemption period for any property that is that's been habited for the last 90 days. And if it's empty, vacant, hasn't been habited, then there is no right of redemption. The right of redemption in Philadelphia is 9 months, and if the homeowner pays back the the bidding amount plus 10% interest, then they can get it back. So you're not going to be able to get a clear title for 9 months if it's occupied. And I haven't done the tax lien sales there, so I don't know much about that. There's lots of opportunity. So that's Philadelphia. And like I said, go to officeofphiladelphiasheriff.com. They actually have a video. One of the sheriffs is walking you through the entire process. But there's a funny story about Philadelphia. If you have some time and just want to see what could go wrong in a tax sale, type Philadelphia FBI sees computers. You know, and that's an interesting story for you right there. I think everyone would get a kick out of that. So that's Philadelphia. Ed says, are there any other states that you would recommend staying away from? So, Ed, I would just like to clear up that there's not really states that we recommend staying away from, but more so that there are states that we recommend beginners staying away from. You know, for instance, Maryland, each county is a little bit different from the next, which makes it a difficult state to start out in. But there's going to be opportunities in every state, but there's also going to be, you know, that learning curve to overcome. Like for me, you know, Texas feels like a really easy state, but in comparison to a lot of others, it's maybe, you know, more difficult. Or the Texas sale is quite difficult. Houston, sorry, because, you know, there's eight sales happening at once. But it's not necessarily, you know, I tell you to stay away from a state. It's just there's states that are easier than others. But you're going to find opportunities everywhere. You know, so if you're looking, we always recommend starting in your own backyard because that's the easiest thing, right? You just, you know, you can drive properties because it's not far from your house. You can go to the sale. But let's say you're, you know, in a county where the sale happens once a year. And it might have happened, you know, 2 months ago. So it's not like we want you to sit around, right? But if that is the case, you know, check to see what they do with unsold tax liens or unsold tax deeds. And then check other counties. You know, like in California, Southern California, they do their sales once a year. But there's so many counties, you know, within 2-3 hours that you can really hit a lot of counties. Always recommend starting in your backyard. There's some states that are more difficult than others. New Jersey is one that's also difficult, so I would just mention that as well. The rules are different from county to county. But, you know, once you get hit that learning curve, you get comfortable, that's when it becomes a lot easier. That's what I would say about that, Ed. Any thoughts, Corey?
I think you hit it pretty much on the head there. That's a really good explanation. We can move on to the next question. Joe is asking.
Well, actually, hey, Corey, we got a lot of caller, bud.
All right. Well, let her rip there, bruh.
Okay. We're looking at Sandhu from Millbrae, California, ending in 4116. You are live.
Hey, guys, I'm back. Very quickly, coming to the question, in your coaching sessions, do you guys also suggest in setting up an LLC, a limited liability company? Do you guys help out with that one too?
Can I answer that?
Sure. Yeah, you got the juice, man. Let it rip.
Yeah, actually, the next question was from Joe, and he was wondering what the worst case scenario was and if he's likely to acquire liabilities. And yeah, that's definitely something that we definitely recommend. If it's going to be a stumbling block for you to start, we say we'll just go buy a property under your own name. But once you're getting into this full time and getting lots of properties, an LLC is going to be very important to keep your personal assets safe from the properties and the American properties that you own. People like to sue, and if something happens on your property, you don't want them to come after your personal assets. So an LLC is something that can definitely help you set up. It's actually pretty easy to set up. There's a website. There's one called We the People. There's a website called LegalZoom, and for $300, you can set up an LLC. Now, if you want to go deeper into the whole LLC thing and start to get S-Corps and, individually placing all your properties, in different LLCs, and that's something a little more complicated, and we have a couple of trainings on that we can offer. But, so we definitely can help with that. that's something we can help.
Awesome. With. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Another good question. I'll just ramble real quickly about that. LLCs are great. There's I forget the technical name for LLCs, but cab companies do this for, I think it's like every two or three cars that they have, they place those under different branches in their LLCs. I think it's not an S corp. Oh, I forget the name of it, but anyway, so it's like if one cab, let's say a cab runs off the road and smashes into Trump Tower and the whole thing falls down and causes millions of dollars worth of damage, Trump can only come after, I don't know why I'm using Trump as an example. Anyway, I'll keep going. But they can only come after those three cars and the properties owned with those three cars. So rather than being able to come at the entire company, they basically can isolate their liability to those three cars. And that's kind of, once you have a lot of property, that's an option that you can keep. You can pay, I think, like an extra $50 or $100 and have like a little branch out of your LLC. So that if someone slips on your property, for instance, they can't come after all your properties. They can only come after the one or the two, and those are the only ones that are liable. So that's a really crude way of relating to that, but that's kind of what popped into my head. So for those of you who are thinking about LLCs or you have a lot of properties, definitely something to talk to an accountant about, a real estate accountant, someone who set up those before. So LLC rant is over. Josh, what is our next question?
Okie dokie.
Or I can read it.
We got a lot more questions in here. Okay, so we got Joe's with the worst case scenario. We got Jack, right, with Brad. Does that bring us up to Lee?
That was awesome. Josh is trying to read my brain right now. But so Lee's basically asking basically about the potential in making money in tax liens if he quits his regular job. So one thing with this stuff is it's really important that you get a good handle and grasp on it, Lee, first before you make any rash decisions. It's tough because there's two sides of the coin. There's like the side where it's like if you're super motivated and you have to make this work, you're going to make it work. So whatever you do, if you just say, well, I'm going to do this, then you can do that. But there's also that whole safety net thing where it's good to dip your foot in, maybe go to a sale here, a sale there, maybe take some vacation time and get kind of familiar with it or go on an auction trip and kind of get a feel for it. There's that side. And then that's a little – you kind of have more of a safety buffer underneath you. And, I mean, I've always taken little risks. I haven't taken any like huge risks, like basically quitting a job and going out and trying something. But there's something to be said for that. There's also something to be said for taking educated risks and kind of moving into something a little more slowly, even if it takes you a few extra weeks or months to get kind of a good solid base, or going on a trip and learning the basics of it, and then you can make your decision. And getting that sort of education behind it, so that you can really excel once you do go full-time. I know that's a little vague, but I didn't want to share all of your specifics there just because those are pretty personal. But I understand what you're saying when you're tired of working 60 hours a week. Josh, do you want to add to that? Josh was out in the oil field, and he was working insane hours, and I think he could add a lot to this.
Yeah, 100%. I was working – well, Ed, you said you like your job, so that was different from me. I was working in the oil field. And hated – actually, sorry, Lee. Your name is Lee. My bad, Lee. Yeah, I was working in the oil field, and I didn't have a backup plan, but I knew that I couldn't do that anymore. It was just driving me crazy. You know, you're supposed to enjoy your life, and I was not enjoying mine. So one day – now, I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you what happened. I went in, and I quit. I had enough sick days, enough bank days, you know, for the next, like, 2 months. So I handed him my 2 weeks and said, this is it, guys. I'm done, which is pretty nuts. But it put me in that position where I was forced to find something. I was forced to make it work. You know, I had bills. I had responsibilities. And I found that it was a chance for me to really see what I'm made out of. You know, am I going to crash and burn, or am I going to make this work?
And then it was stressful for about 2 weeks, you could say. I was sweating it, you know. There was a lot of stress. But I was working hard. I was searching for things. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm working for Dustin full-time. And you know, it's been an incredible journey since then. And that never would have happened if I didn't step out and take that risk. But, you know, that's, of course, not the right move for everybody. It really depends on you, you know, and there is so much potential, you know, in this niche market of real estate. We're seeing tons and tons and tons and tons of success. But we're seeing a lot of people, too, that hit the obstacles and then they stop. They hit a brick wall, you know, and they don't try to find another way around it, or they don't stick with something. It takes work, right? It takes work to drive properties. Every time I go to one of these live auction trips, you know, it's anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. That's not true. Maybe there's been a couple 16-hour days, you know, so it takes a lot of work. And, you know, I'm hoping to be able to get more people working on these live auction trips so that there's more that I can delegate. But I can tell you that if you try to do this on your own, it is extremely difficult, especially if you want to do this in a huge capacity. And I'll tell you three things real quick just to add in. What you want when you build a team, you know, around you, you want someone that can do acquisitions, so that can drive the properties, that can acquire property, that can gather and collect that data. Then you want someone who can work with the rehabbers, contractors, you know, when you're doing the rehab on your properties. And then you want the sales as well, you know, someone working with realtors or doing open houses. So really, you know, with four people, you can, you know, yourself managing all these things, you can really crush this thing. But I know a lot of people, they just try to do it by themselves, and it's extremely difficult. So, yeah, it depends on the person. I feel like that was a nice little tangent. Share a little bit about the personal journey and then what's going on now, too.
Totally. And I will add that Josh made a crazy decision, but I think, Josh, at that point, you would kind of, yeah, we had kind of talked about you working with us, so you kind of had a little bit of a, or was that after? I don't really remember how the situation played out.
But I was just doing a few hours, and so at the time when I quit, all I had was that few hours a day, and of course, working in the oil field in Alberta, you're making quite a bit of money, and you get used to that income, and a lot of people, you start to need that income, and I was one of those people, and so yeah, there was a huge change, but made it work, made it happen.
Right. Cool, man. Right, right. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So I think we have, I like this part of the call, because this is where we go into round robin of questions and we just burn through them. So before we do that, if you do have a live question you want to chat, star 2 will get you on the phone, live with us. Live with Josh and Corey. And if not, you can type it in the question box, and that is equally as acceptable. I will say that we've talked a lot about auctions. They seem to be it's kind of like the starting point of this business, is kind of getting hands-on training. So if you do want more information about that, taxlandcertificateschool.com/live-auction. And then I'll take you to the application page, and you can just fill in your name, your email, and the best time to call, and one of our team members will reach out and have a chat with you and see if it's something that will work for you. That is, it's a great thing, and you'll probably see Josh and get to hang out with him, and maybe even I'll be there. I want to go down and get lots of cool footage for everything. So that is my little shameless plug for the live auction. Josh, I have to keep coughing. So do you want to take these questions? Kind of cool. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. All right, so then moving right along, we have a question from Philip, who has a lien for 2015. I guess there's other investors that have purchased liens back to 2010, and no one's going to deed on them. Can I go to deed over them in 2018, and should I do that? This is in Florida. So what you want to do, Philip, is definitely, you know, if you can take this and send it to, you know, you want to petition for this to go to a tax deed sale, you're going to need to do that, because if nobody does that, then it's just going to expire, and then you're not going to get any money. So when it comes time for you, if no one's done it previously, you're going to want to petition for that and send it to a tax deed sale. Funny thing about Florida is that Florida is different than every other state, and most times when you have a tax lien and the homeowner doesn't pay the back taxes, what happens is then you have the opportunity to foreclose and acquire the property. But in Florida, the tax lien goes to a tax deed sale. So for anyone hoping to get a property from a tax lien in Florida, unfortunately that won't be able to happen. We have two videos on our Facebook and YouTube page about Florida. But there's so much opportunity in Florida. There's so many over-the-counter tax liens. There's so many tax lien sales happening monthly. That's a really easy way to put your money somewhere and acquire a much higher interest rate than you'd ever get at the bank. If you can get an over-the-counter tax lien in Florida, that's going to be 18%, which is awesome. All right, so Philip, definitely going to want to do that, get that 2015. So you got a couple of years to go, not very long, and then you can petition that. Next question is Sirona from the UK. Hello, what city do you go to in Texas? We go to Houston, Texas. We've been going there for a while. We've been acquiring property since September of last year. We've been killing it, doing really well. So we're going to keep going back, you know, until things change. But the thing is, guys, you know, it's not always going to be that way. Maybe some kind of huge hedge fund will come in and just start buying everything up. Or maybe a new group of investors will come and just bid everything up way too high. But, you know, while we can, we're going to go there, and we're just going to milk it for all we can. But there's so much opportunity. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, we're gonna move on. Deanne from Rochester says, I live in Minnesota. I was wondering if you ever bought tax deeds in that state. I have. You got the score?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Dustin has bought a lot in Minnesota. That's kind of where he got his start, actually. I think one of his first tax deeds was in Minnesota. A piece of land, I think he bought it for, I think it was like $1,500, and he sold it for $10,000. So it's definitely, Minnesota is a tax deed state. I can't recall when the sales are, but definitely something to look into. So Minnesota, check it out, tax deed state. Moving on. Yeah, Josh.
Yeah, it's funny. And just in the last second there, I Googled Cass County. No, okay. That's nothing. No, I got nothing. But.
You got our hopes up there, Josh. You just let us down.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll power through these. Joe again. Joe's asking, when you're driving your list of properties, do you have a tool that will route it in a straightforward tour so you don't have to zigzag around town? Well, Josh, why don't you answer Joe's question, because you're the professional.
Yes, I've been doing that a lot. We use Route4Me, and we have a tutorial on Route4Me. Now, the downside of Route4Me right now is they used to offer a package, and you could get it for $50 a month, and it was the best. But now they're offering that price, but you have to pay for a year at a time to get that. The reason I use Route4Me is because it is the best. In the tutorial that we do, you can see why. But the good news is there is a free option. So I use Route4Me because I'm working usually with 120 properties, and that's a lot of data to go through and sort through. And if you want to do it for free, though, you can use MapQuest Route Planner. If you type MapQuest Route Planner in Google, that'll take you to the Route Planner part of MapQuest, which is not the easiest to find if you're just searching MapQuest.com. They'll allow you to input up to 25 addresses. So that's not a whole lot, but if you're not going to be doing, more than that, it's going to work great. You can upload an Excel sheet. Now, I'm looking at some other programs as well, just because I know that a lot of people that do this want a program. And I know there's one called Badger, which I'm looking at, but I'm still on the hunt. I'll use Route4Me in the meantime, because anyone that had the $50 a month plan will continue to get that. But any new buyers will have to get that new price, which is awful. That's a terrible idea. But yeah, in the meantime, you got MapQuest, and then if you just type route planning software, you know, you can do a little research on your own as well and have a look at some different programs out there. That's what I got on that.
Cool, man. That's great. I just clicked off. Someone mentioned that I might be thinking of the Series LLC, and that's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was a Series LLC, so that protects properties very specifically. So thank you for that, mystery texter. Lee's wondering, if you're just starting out, how much capital or a lot of cash do you recommend having to get the ball rolling? So, Lee, if you're starting in places like Texas, like in Houston or Philly, in the big places, I don't know, Josh, what would you say? Like, probably you're probably not going to find something for under 10. Well, you'd have a hard time in those big counties finding something for under 10,000, you think, or 15?
In Philadelphia, they got property going really cheap. There's a guy there who's picking up property all the time, you know, for less than 2,500. But the reason that works for him is he's getting properties that are just write-offs. They're toast. They're done. And he has a lot of rehabbers and contractors that he works with, and that's what he specializes in. So that's a good investment for anyone that is seasoned in that. But to get something where you're going to be putting in minimal work, for instance, you pick it up and it just needs a couple touch-ups and you could rent it or you could sell it to a contractor, you know, you're probably going to want $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Texas, you know, I've seen stuff go really cheap. You can find cheap land anywhere and probably make a little bit of a profit on it. You just have to sift through that and find the right deal. I've seen stuff go, you know, $1,500 all over the place. You know, and then you got online sales stuff going for a couple $100. But you want to make sure that you can move it. But if you're going to be putting, you know, let's say you save up and you're putting all your money into something, you're going to want to be able to get your money out of that quick. So you'd be looking at a tax deed sale and something where you could either get it to maybe a contractor rehabber might be interested in buying it and doing some work. Or if you could sell it yourself, you know, you want something that you'll be able to move and get it at a price where you could take a hit on the market value so you can move it quickly. Those are just the thoughts I have.
Yeah, totally. Thanks, man. And it's more of like the bigger counties are going to have higher priced properties. If you're starting with a little bit of money, let's say $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and you're going to want to look in the smaller counties, and it might take you a little extra longer to find those home run deals. But if just make sure when you're looking for properties that you're able to make a decent, like if you're buying a property for $3,000, you're going to want it to be valued at least maybe minimum 10,000 or 15, even like 30,000, just so you can sell it and make a few thousand off of it. Just make sure you're not pushing your margins too close together. And yeah, you should be. You'll definitely find properties in smaller counties. It just takes a little more sifting through. And Brad's a perfect example of that, and how what he's managed to find in places like Arkansas and other smaller counties within those states. So yeah. Hopefully that answers your question. Josh, we got another question from Lee. Lee's asking all the questions. That's awesome. Lee says, I've been to three auctions in North Georgia. I've been fascinated with the frenzied bidding that results in an overage. Overage is an area that only the experienced season taxman guy should deal with. Yeah, overages are a little more complicated, Lee. We do talk about them a lot in the Advanced Tax Deed Mastermind. I would say getting started with tax liens or tax deeds is definitely a good place to start. If you do want more information about overages, you can definitely shoot us an email or give us a call, and we can help you with that. Overages also take a fair bit of digging, and they're a little more tricky because you have to convince a homeowner that there's money for them, but also convey to them that – or not convey, but also – manage to get them not to go after it themselves. You have to get them to sign three really important documents in a very specific order so that they grant you the right to go get the money and say they won't go get it. And then they find out how much it is, and then they give you a power of attorney to get that money for them. So it's tricky because you have to convey sort of this, you have to convey that you know what you're doing, that you have social credibility and business credibility. And it can be done. It totally can be done. There's no question about it, but it's just a few extra steps. And you're dealing with the wild card variable that Dustin talks a lot about, which is the homeowner. So you really never know what they're going to do. They could be cool up until the last very second, the last signing of that last document, and the notary could be there to seal the deal, and then they could just back out, and then you'd be left with hours of wasted, not wasted time, but you wouldn't see the profit of that time. All the hours that you put into the stuff is valuable, but sometimes you aren't going to see money come back for that. But if it's something that you're interested in, especially in Georgia, I do know that there are lots of overages in Georgia, and because it's a tax deed hybrid state, so definitely reach out to us so we can help you with that. But there is a chance that it'll be just as challenging. So, but it is a good learning lesson. Josh, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I just want to say, Lee, that you said that frenzied bidding that resulted in overage. So an overage is just anything that goes above what the back taxes are. So let's say the back taxes are $20,000, and you know it gets bid up to $120,000, and there's going to be $100,000 in overages. And then each state's going to be a little bit different with what they do with those overages. Sometimes it needs to go to lien holders, you know, mortgage, or sometimes it's just going to be available to you, or sorry, not to you, the homeowner. And then, you know, you can get involved in that. So each state's going to be different. There's a lot of states that we don't recommend working in, and there are states that we do recommend working in. And we have that in our Advanced Tax Deed Mastermind course. But there's plenty of opportunity, especially when you get into things like having a virtual assistant do the bulk work of that for you. That's something great that you can manage from afar and reap the rewards of. So that's all I'd say about that, Lee. And that actually handles all of the questions. That's the first time that this has ever happened where we didn't have a whole bunch of questions outstanding after.
People are getting they're getting ready for their big vacation. That's what it is. But you guys are the ones on the call. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, everyone here must be hardcore, man. This is exciting.
Cool. Well, I guess we'll bring this down to a close, Josh. Again, guys, if you do want to join us on a live auction trip, we would love to have you. You get to meet Josh and Dutch and the team and really learn from the best in the business. And it's something that we're really proud to offer you guys. And the training, it's intense. We're not going to lie. It's intense, but you're going to learn everything you need to learn about a tax deed auction. And you're going to get the support you need to kind of go out and do this. So if you are interested, there's basically three things you can do. You can email us in and be like, hey, I'm interested. And the email is hello@taxliencertificateschool.com. Or you can call us at 1-877-405-1050. We will be open tomorrow. Our hours will be here, but you can also leave a message as well if we don't pick up. And the number is 1-877-405-1050. And you can also go to the live auction application page directly, which is taxliencertificateschool.com/live-auction, and you'll be able to send in your application there, and then someone will reach back out to you. So that's the direct route, and then someone will give you a call. But those other two methods work just as well. And I'm just on the verge of coughing. Josh, do you want to take over?
Yeah.
While I cough?
Yeah. Actually, two more questions came in. I'm going to hammer those out in seconds. Lee asked if Georgia is one of those good states for overages. It is. Georgia is also one of those states where the overage will go to the lien holder, so that's just something to be aware of. Kim in New York City says, how are the tax liens in North Carolina? And Kim, so North Carolina is going to be a tax deed state, and I actually have a good friend who invests quite a bit in North Carolina, and he's driving a lot of properties. He's had a lot of success there. I know we have other students as well. So like I mentioned earlier, a great thing to do is get on the Facebook page, and then message, you know, and just ask if there's other investors that are working there and how they're doing. It's a great place to network, and we're always trying to, you know, help any way we can. So put a message there in the Facebook page. And, yeah, so that's awesome. We got a lot of auctions coming up soon. I'm really excited. I'm really pumped to see what kind of deals we can get. But yeah, so we're out of time. Thank you so much, everybody, for jumping on the call. I get really excited about these calls and love talking to you guys and love answering questions. So I hope you guys have the best weekend. Happy 4th of July. Enjoy your time off. And that's all I got.
Cool. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We'll talk to you soon. And there will be a replay of this available for you to listen to back. We'll make sure you get that. So, yeah. Ditto what Josh said, and we'll talk to you guys very soon.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, everyone.
The moderator has left the conference.